Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 176 of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. This week we'll be talking about running your practice the way you want with Dr. Megan Weisenberger. But before we get into this week's episode, let's have a personal talk, just me and you. So I want to thank all our new listeners. Our numbers have been steadily increasing, never as good as I want them because yes, that's my personality, and the reviews are starting to trickle in. So listen, you know that it's super important for me to get the motivation is to see the reviews, to see the inquiries on asktbone.com, to let me know what's going on in your life, what you want to talk about, what you're seeing, so that we can make this podcast all about you and what's going on. So this week I'm sitting in Studio 3D, and it's a Sunday night. You know, a podcast comes out on Monday, and we just completed the next seminar in Nashville, Tennessee this past Friday. And I think it's a great story about kind of what we're all feeling in our lives. And again, oftentimes I'll hear people come to me and you'll say to me, oh, you've got it all figured out. You know, you're just doing things. You're so out there. And the truth is this seminar and the next seminars, it's our Business One class. It's our case acceptance seminar. It's about going from a level one to a level two practice. In other words, slowing down to speed up, being able to enroll more patients in treatment and begin to establish a foundation so that you can add more advanced emotional procedures to your practice. But this seminar has been nearly 3 years in the making. Quite frankly, I was afraid to commit to the seminar. I was worried that people wouldn't show up. I was worried that, you know, moving from talking so much about clinical and having a sprinkle of business to moving into having an entire day dedicated to case acceptance in the business of dentistry, you know, I had that fear, and it took me almost 3 years to put this together. And finally, about 6-7 months ago, we finally put it on the calendar, made our commitment, and we had 92 people come out for the program in Nashville. So I got to thank all our fans and each of you that came out. And what was more impressive to me was of all the dentists that came, everybody bought team members, and not just a few team members, but a lot of team members. And we saw tremendous results, great energy, a lot of enthusiasm, team members, you know, really buying in and understanding what the dentist was trying to do and how it was coming. And we heard the dentist give us the feedback, and that's awesome. And, you know, quite frankly, that's at the end of the day, why we do what we do, and what truly makes what we're doing at 3D Dentist unique. And speaking of 3D, I want to thank everybody for their support. Our year is still off to a great start, from last week even. And I got a couple of courses that I want to remind you of. We have our Digital Implant Continuum. Our next group starts May 28th through 30th. And then the group after that won't start until September 11th through the 13th. And that means if you don't get started by May 28th through 30th, you have to wait until September 11th through 13th. And now the Digital Implant Continuum is unlike any implant training out there that I'm aware of. Our focus is solely on the digital dentist. It's 9 days, 3 weekends, 2 live patient experiences, tons and tons of hands-on computer exercises, hands-on pigs, typodonts, live patients, getting you ready, safe, and comfortable to add implant dentistry using digital technologies in your practice. I know you're going to love it. And if you're that person, just like me 12 years ago, that was afraid to get into dentistry, and you have this technology or getting this technology, and you want that technology to help you into implant dentistry, the Digital Implant Continuum is for you. And then our Sleep One implementation programs with Dr. Aaron Elliott are sold out for March and April, and we don't have anything on the calendar until late fall. So we're adding another course on July 30th and 31st in Nashville, Tennessee. We loved it so much there that we're coming back. So again, July 30th and 31st, Nashville, Tennessee, Sleep One with Dr. Aaron Elliott and myself. And if you want more information, 3D-dentist.com. And we look forward to seeing you and letting you bring in your team members to our programs. So on this week's episode, episode 176, we're going to be talking to one of our 3D dentist mentors, Dr. Megan Weisenberger. Megan is a female, as the name Megan implies, and she is a mommy dentist, meaning that she has children and she balances, and a husband, and she balances the vigors of owning a practice with the tug of being a mommy and being there for the children, but yet maintaining that drive that she has for expanding and building and developing a practice the way she wants. We talk about her story, about why she didn't own a practice getting out of school right away, what that transition was like between being an associate and then becoming an owner and looking for practices, and whether or not to be fee for service or to be PPO, whether or not to buy a practice or to do a startup, her fears of opening her practice, or, and you know, by that I mean buying her practice, her fears of expanding and making changes when you buy a fee for service practice, all these things that are common issues that we all face, whether we're buying a practice or whether we have our existing practice and are wanting to make changes, but we have that fear. And then, of course, we make Megan a little uncomfortable, and we talk about her CE journey and her sleep implementation and her next step with implants and just all the things going on in her practice and working on her CE journey. So we have a nice conversation with Megan Weisenberger. So without further ado, let's get to this week's episode, episode 176, with Dr. Megan Weisenberger. I am joined today by Dr. Megan Weisenberger. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
You sure? Correct.
Yes.
Is that your real name or is that your acquired name?
No, that is my maiden name. I did not change my name.
So you're one of those women.
I'm one of those, yes.
Absolutely. I'm going to start triggering women all over
That's
the place.
That's fine.
So my wife didn't change her maiden name either. It bothers me.
Why?
It just does.
Shouldn't.
Why shouldn't it?
I didn't change my name for two reasons. One, I graduated with Weisenberger, and I didn't want to go through all the hassle of changing all my diplomas and all that stuff. And two, my father's a physician in Cincinnati with really well, the name is well known. Mm-hmm. So I knew I would get patients from seeing that name.
Okay.
So it was a business decision as well.
Okay. I'm okay with being, okay, this is not exactly what we're supposed to talk about, but I think it's a good conversation. Actually, let me tell you why. It doesn't bother me that my wife didn't change her name professionally. It somewhat bothers me that she didn't change her name personally. And not because I want her name to be my last name, but because I do not like getting called Mr. Gupta when we go to the airport, when we go to hotels, because she makes those reservations under her name. And that drives me a little bit crazy.
That's a personal problem.
That's an egotistical problem, right? No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm a male. I get to have that.
No, it doesn't bother my husband, so.
Not that you know of. Maybe he's afraid to tell you.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure
he would tell me. I guarantee you.
Yeah, he would tell you.
He would tell me.
All right, that's good. All right, so while we're on that topic, I think it's a big topic in dentistry today. This a big focus towards females.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on all of that?
I love that there's more women in dentistry, but I don't always want to fall back over women. So we need a bigger platform. I just think it's awesome that more women are becoming visible and speaking more and engaging more. But I don't think it's just because I'm a woman, I should have more engagement. Mm-hmm. But
do women really have unique problems that dentists don't have? That male dentists don't have?
Probably. I don't know. It's hard. Not being a male dentist, I don't know. But it is different when you're a female and if you decide to have children.
But don't I have kids too?
You do, but you didn't have to carry him for 9 months and then give birth.
Listen, I'm
and
carrying one permanently, quite frankly, okay?
It just becomes harder because there's physical things that we have to deal with that men don't. Not saying that you're not taking time off to be with your kids.
Yeah. You know, I got in trouble. You met my wife today.
Yes.
And I got in trouble once. She went out of town. I think this was the first time that she went out of town and left me alone with the kids. And I wrote on Facebook, I said, oh, I had such a great time babysitting my kids this weekend.
It's
like her and several other people privately messaged me and texted me and says, it's not called babysitting. I'm like, to me it is.
It is different.
So, okay. But I'm so pro women in dentistry.
Right.
Okay. I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but I also want to be somewhat factual about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think a little bit that some of the manufacturers and companies are paying a little bit too much attention to females from a different perspective. So let me finish my story before somebody gets completely irate at me. Not you, but somebody listening gets irate at me. Is yes, we are 50 women are 52% of the graduates, maybe a little bit more, but rough numbers there. But they don't represent that same ownership pattern or that same hour work pattern that the typical male dentist does. And they're not necessarily decision makers at the same level that men are. And I know that's going to bother some people, but I mean, facts are facts, you know. And do you see a time where 52% of practices will be owned by women?
I don't know. And I think it's individual what everyone wants to do with it. I always knew that I wanted to own my practice. I just who I am. I couldn't stand anyone telling me what to do. And I wouldn't be happy unless I was doing it. Also, I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. Because if I never tried, then I would have never known. But I will say if I got into dentistry to have a family. Mm-hmm. My father's a physician. I knew how much he had to work and how much he wasn't around. So I didn't want that for myself.
Well, you made the smart decision.
I agree.
Yeah.
But so I knew that in dentistry, I could work what I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I've decided to run my practice.
Okay.
But you can. Mm-hmm. You just have to be smart about it. And, you know, if I will say my husband has a job that he can work from home if the kids are sick.
Okay.
So I have a very unique, not unique, but I'm,
well, I would argue that you've created that.
Correct. We knew like,
because your relationship is such that he probably sought out a job that gave flexibility
correct.
because you as a practice owner didn't have as much flexibility as if you were the person that had,
right.
You know, an 8-to-5 job that you can like, and I want to work 3 days a week.
Yeah, he's had to give up. Like if he could accelerate in his old job, if he could have moved, but he knew he couldn't do that. So he's given up a lot for me to do this.
Okay.
So I've been very lucky that way.
Okay.
And that's allowed me to own my practice and be there.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't want to be I'm so afraid that I'm going to put my foot in my mouth as if that stopped me before. But I look at women dentists in two perspectives. One is you're fighting an uphill battle as a female. Okay. Unfortunately, we still live in a time with that. That's part of the situation. And you fight the uphill battle against males. And I also think you fight an uphill battle against women.
Okay. I would agree.
And I think that's the bigger battle, in my opinion, is the battle of, hey, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I'm not as driven as any other man or any other human being. why should I be made to feel bad for not necessarily being there for my kids the way a traditional stay-at-home mom or a female who is all into their kids. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely when you have women who don't work and then you look, you
know, I'm saying even within dentistry. So let's assume in, within our profession, there's like, I've noticed two different types of women. Okay. I'm talking about in dentistry. Okay. There's the woman that, hey, I want to work, I'm a professional, but it's not my primary. Okay. And then there's the female that, like, listen, I want to be as successful or as driven as any other dentist out there. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes those two females clash against each other.
I haven't experienced that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Honestly, because I see both mm-hmm. both sides, and what can benefit from one person doesn't benefit another person. So I personally have experienced that, so I can't talk about it. But I don't look down on my colleagues that aren't working, you know, 5 days a week and doing what they want to do and what's right for them. Because what's right for my family, me working full time, is not right for another family.
Yeah.
So I don't personally see that, so I can't.
Maybe they don't say it to you.
Maybe, and that's fine. I'll just keep doing what I want to do. And
you know, because it's interesting we talk about some of these things, because I grew up in a relatively progressive Indian family, but I always say that my parents, they left India in 1970s, okay, in the late 70s, and that's the mentality they have, mm-hmm. right? And so they would always say to other female kids, oh, you should be a dentist. It's a great life. You don't have, you know, you can work less, you can do all these things. And you know, I think sometimes females in dentistry are looked at that way.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's neither here nor there.
I mean, when I was pregnant with my first, I had a patient go, you know, well, were you going to come back after you have the baby? Like, of course, like, I'll be back. You know,
nobody will ask me that after paternity leave, right?
Right. So, you know, oh, how long you take? I get 4 weeks off if I was lucky. Well, you're just going to let someone else raise your baby?
Like, well, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the kind of things I would get. I would get that from patients. I never got that from other dentists.
Maybe you haven't hung out with those dentists.
Maybe not.
So, but anyway, we're seeing a big push on female specific stuff. We're seeing groups like Epic, which I think are fantastic to a certain degree. Well, I mean, look, I
get it.
Why do we have to separate driven men from driven women?
You know, I don't. I'm as part of the Epic. I love it, mm-hmm. and I've met some amazing people.
Like, I want to go to it. Well, like, I want to hang out with women.
It is a cool group of women, and I think it's a launching pad for some of us to get together.
Because I think there's good information that people like me or people other open minded men can provide.
I think
for
it's just
guys.
Gotta be the right group. Yeah. I mean, had I never gone to Epic, I would have never met you guys. I mm-hmm. mean, it was a launching pad for me.
Right. And that's what those things should be, right?
And yeah, and I'm really glad that I did it, and I met some amazing women.
Right.
Because that's what it was. And
so let's move on beyond the woman thing. Okay. I just needed to get that out there.
Fine.
So, all right, let's talk about Megan the dentist.
Yes.
Okay. So you made a statement earlier that you've always known that you wanted to be a practice owner.
Correct.
Okay, so why did you not do that straight out of school?
I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing yet.
Do we ever know what we're doing?
No, no. So I did a GPR at University of Cincinnati, and then I kind of did two associateships, and it kind of taught me what not to do. And it was a very good learning experience for me to say, like, if I was going to own my own practice, what do I like about it? What I not like about it? And how would I manage my practice? What would I make it?
So there's a negative connotation to what not to do. Okay. So when people say, well, I learned what not to do there, it invokes, at least in me, a connotation that it wasn't the right fit or the right place. And really what I would rather have us say is it helped me get clear about what type of practice I wanted to have.
Yeah.
You know, and so let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So your associateship was a very different situation than what you have now.
Correct.
Not worse or better
just
different, right? So let's talk about that transition from being in an associate in a practice of multiple doctors, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 patients, to moving into practice ownership, number one. And then part of that is moving into practice ownership into a fee-for-service model where it's literally cash only. So let's talk about that a little bit. So what was that transition like for you?
It was a huge jump, and I was so very, very nervous to make that leap because it's a totally different mindset.
So what helped you overcome that nervousness?
I think in the back of my mind, I said, if I didn't do it, I would never know. So if I did it and I failed, okay, I tried it.
Okay.
But if I never did it, I would never know. And then my CPA kicking me in the butt saying, go, just do it.
Well, but your CPA also did that because of the practice you were buying. It made, on paper, it made economic sense to do that.
Yes,
it was. A lot of things make sense on paper.
Correct. But it was scary because it was a totally different world than I was used to.
Did you have kids at the time?
Yes, I had two.
Okay, so you had already had two children.
I already had my girls, yeah. Okay,
and you're ready to do it.
Correct.
What was there a particular time where you said, I'm doing this? Was there a day or a defining moment or something that happened that you're going to say, hey, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, it was when my boss made me just so mad. I was crying on the way home. And I said, this emotionally, this is not worth it.
But you still cry on the way home now that you own your practice.
Honestly, I can tell you I'm 110% happier.
No, I
as an owner.
I'm somewhat kidding.
No, but there was a point where I was like, this isn't emotionally, this isn't worth it. I'm bringing this all home to my family. This is not who I am as a person. It's not allowing me to be that dentist. I was like, I'm done. I'm doing my own thing.
And then had you already been looking at that time?
Yeah, I was already.
So you had already started the process.
I had already started the process. I knew that I was out. And then it was, okay, is this the practice for me? And I went and I met with the selling dentist. Mm-hmm. My husband and I met with her and her husband. And I walked in the building and I just knew. Just talking to her,
talk about that, because it's like people say when you meet your loved one, you just know, right?
Yeah.
So what was that like? What was that feeling like inside?
No.
But you know, what was it about that made you understand?
So when I met her, she had worked at the practice for 20 years and I had been an associate for 7 before.
Before that, so 27 years she had been in the same place.
And when I was looking to buy, she had two little girls the same age as when she bought the practice. She was 7 years out. I was 7 years out. There was like a lot of weird little
Did it make you feel comfortable that she was a woman that was owner?
I mean, it did, but only because I knew the practice was okay with a female dentist already.
Do you think that's a thing?
I do. I really do. My last place I worked, he would only hire another a female to work with him because he knew some people only wanted a female dentist. Yeah. I do think it is a thing. I have patients tell me all the time, I'd rather have a female dentist.
Yeah.
And I never.
So you met with her.
Met with her and just talking to her. It was almost like I told her, like, you're who I want to be when I grow up.
Okay, let's talk about that.
And I'm going to run with that.
You know, I did this thing when I was trying to come up with a tagline for 3D dentists and people say, what are you trying to do for people? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? I said, I just want dentists to have the practice they dreamed they would have in dental school. I think so few of us actually achieve that.
Correct.
Like I had this unbelievable grandiose vision of what my practice was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And It is nothing like that.
Right.
Like my vision was probably what you have.
Yeah.
Like my vision was, I'm going to have this small little practice. I'm going to pick and choose who I work on. I'm going to do the type of dentistry I want, and people are going to pay my fees regardless of what my fees are. That was my vision of dentistry. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like that.
Right. Yeah. So I got very lucky, I'd say. And she kind of had what I wanted.
I don't believe the whole lucky part. I just don't believe in that. I believe that we put out intention. Mm-hmm. We set our mind to what we're looking at, and we help find what we're... If you were looking for a PPO practice, you would have found that.
Right, and I was selective of the practices I was looking at. So definitely knew the area I wanted to be in.
The area, the geographic correct. Area of Cincinnati.
Correct. So I had been working about 30 minutes north of where I lived, so mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to come back home. It's where I grew up. I went to high school like 2 miles away. Okay. So I knew the area. I knew the people. So I knew I wanted to do that. And I wanted to do higher. I wanted to do CEREC. I wanted to do mm-hmm. technology.
But fee-for-service, you don't need to do fee-for-service to do those things.
I know, but I love the technology. So yeah. I wanted to invest in that, and the practice didn't have it yet. So I knew there was kind of some growth potential for me there.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right. So looking back. So let's recap a little bit here. Okay. You were an associate. You did a GPR. You were an associate. You were working in a practice. One day you went home crying. That comes across the wrong way.
I know.
But one day you had it. You were fed up.
I was done.
Listen, at the end of the day, I understand exactly what you're saying because one day I went to work and my boss said I can't do a certain type of thing I want to do. And I was like, I'm done. I'm going to go do what the hell I want to do. Yeah. Right.
And it has nothing to do with him. It was just me.
You had a vision of what you wanted and you're like, why am I putting this off any longer?
Correct.
Okay. And you got emotional about it and you said, all right, I'm going to make the leap. You had been looking for practice anyway, so you had one foot out the door.
Yeah, I was one foot out the door.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of timing.
Correct.
Okay, and so you made this decision. You knew that you wanted to get a fee-for-service office. You didn't just happen into this.
I wouldn't say that was a thing I was aiming for. Really, I've been, mm-hmm. but it's more location. And this came up, and I saw what it was, and it was the unicorn.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't set out to find a fee-for-service practice.
All right.
Truly.
Okay. I just want, because listen, at the end of the day, what we're trying, what we do podcasts for is because we want to connect with other people.
Right.
I hope somebody's listening to this and they're driving in their car and like, that is what I want. And I want them to reach out to Megan.
Yeah.
You know, get information from you, pick your brain, do all those things. That's the point of all of these things. And that's the point of dentistry. Dentistry is a profession where I would never do what you do. Mm-hmm. Like I would never want to deal with people like that. Or my preconceived notion of deal. I would argue that I deal with worse people, but, but the preconceived notions of all of those things, right? And the challenges of running a fee-for-service practice mm-hmm. in today's environment. Mm-hmm. I would want no part of that. But you probably wouldn't want no part of what I deal with, you know, with 11 or 12 team members and, you know, the pressures of dealing with that.
Right.
So we bought a practice. So looking back, what was the biggest shock for you?
How few patients I needed in the chair to make my daily goal.
Okay.
Because I was so used to running around like mm-hmm. crazy because it was my
last. You think that's a PPO versus fee-for-service thing?
Absolutely.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I think that is a mentality we've been fed.
I can see that, yeah.
So we have a very PPO practice at the end of the day. And I work one chair. My associate works one chair. And a busy day for either one of us would be 7 to 8 patients. That would be a busy day for us.
Well, then you're doing it the right way.
Right. So, but there's this mentality that we have to do fee-for-service to, number one, have the technology, number two, to do the type of dentistry that we want to do, and number three, to work at a pace that we think we have to do. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. granted, fee-for-service, yes, you get paid significantly better than I do, but I would argue you don't. I would argue that you're not even achieving your potential yet, because you're still doing dental school dentistry to a certain degree, right? Mm-hmm. So you were so surprised. Let's go back to that. You were surprised at how few patients you needed to see to hit your goal.
Correct.
What do you think that was? What caused that? It was just the fees.
It was the fees and how much time I could spend with each. Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Visual patient, especially in hygiene, I was okay. So used to just
checking two or three hygienists at a time,
and maybe not even knowing who was in the chair. Mm-hmm. Like, so
I barely remember your name, Megan.
Right. So it was just how I could slow down for myself. But that was the biggest surprise to me, seeing the numbers comparative.
Was there any fear that you're going to walk into a fee-for-service practice and screw it up?
Oh, absolutely. I was the patients. I see some great grandkids of patients that saw the very first dentist, because I'm the fourth dentist there. So I was so nervous that they'd be like, well, who's this youngster walking in and why should I pay her without...
What kind of transition did you have?
The dentist left on a Tuesday and I walked in on a Wednesday. There was absolutely no overlap.
Was that by design or was that by necessity?
Design. It was by design.
It was non-negotiable?
I didn't really press it. She sent a letter out and had been telling patients, and the office is pretty small, so there wouldn't been enough room for us to both work. And she also feared that patients, if she was there, wouldn't want to see me. Mm-hmm. So, and I think emotionally for her,
she could have been like the greeter at Walmart.
Just
hang out at the front door and shake people. Can I get you? Yeah. Can I get you a card?
Yeah. And I think emotionally for her, she didn't want to do it. It was too hard.
She was ready.
She was very ready. She was, she had some neck issues. So mm-hmm. It was, you know, she was 49 and she got to retire. Young, yeah. So, but it worked, but she was very gracious in welcoming me in and, preparing the patients. I think that was the biggest thing. Okay. They were all prepared. They all knew I was coming. So it wasn't a surprise.
Okay.
But it
helped
well.
That you spoke the lingo of the area. You talked about street names. You could talk about high schools and junior highs.
And it was
and
actually
all that stuff.
Really surprising. Like some of my friends' parents were already patients. So right. I already had a really strong connection. That helped. And
it didn't make it easy. It just helped.
And had I not that connection, I don't know that it would have gone as smoothly as it did.
All right, what hasn't gone smoothly?
I've had some patients question how much I know about different things. She had one way of studying, and I didn't study the same thing. So I think that would be the only thing they kind of question, like, well, where did you study and who did? I mean, they were pulling out names.
Okay, so I got you.
Yeah.
So they're like, we went, my dad, why did you go to the Panky too?
I got a patient ask me if I studied under Panky, and I was like, whoa.
You're like, that dude wasn't even alive when I was born.
I just learned about it a year ago, so I don't know how you know about it, but yes. So
I knew what you're talking about when you said it, okay? I knew exactly what you're talking about.
You know, so I just educate and say, hey, there's a lot of ways to do things, but most people have
I also
okay.
didn't study under Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah, so.
So.
But.
So, all right. So have you been able to maintain the patient base and the revenue?
Yes. Okay. I think, you know, you have normal attrition.
Okay.
I don't even know the percentage, honestly. Kind of depresses me when I look at all those things. And we're getting more new patients than they did.
Okay.
So I think we're staying about the same.
So what's your goal with the practice? So you buy a practice, is your goal just to maintain it and make the same income that the person selling it made? Or do you have a grander vision?
My initial goal over the first year was just, hey, let's not lose any money.
Yeah, there you go.
We made money in our first year, so we were really happy with that. And my goal is for steady growth, but I want to keep it a smaller family practice that I don't lose that vision of, you know, we're there patient-centered focused. Okay. I don't want it to be some huge practice.
So do you believe that if you have a larger practice that you're not patient-centered anymore?
No, I don't believe that. But for me and what I want to do outside of my office, I think that's where it fits.
When you say outside of your office, what do you mean by that?
With my family or, you know, CEs or speaking or whatever I want to get engaged with, I want to be able to maintain my office too. You know, and I'm new at it too. You know, the sky's the limit, but it's only been a year and a half, so.
Well, the first year and a half to 2 years are the hardest ones. You know, you got to maintain. You're trying not to screw things up. You're not trying not to like have too many changes.
Correct.
There's so much involved there. So let's talk about the grand division. So you mentioned earlier that technology was important to you. You wanted it. Did you have experience with that at your associateships?
I had a experience with CEREC.
Okay.
We had a Komen.
When I was growing up, it was CEREC.
CEREC. So we have a CEREC.
Okay.
We just got the Prime Scan, which I love. I had some experience with Cone Beam, but not until I got into my practice and I purchased my own that we've really been using it. So those are two new things I brought to the table.
All right. So do you mind me sharing some of the patient base numbers?
No.
Okay. Because I want to bring up a point. Okay. Most people often believe that you have to have a practice that is of a certain size or a certain revenue to justify spending essentially $200,000, okay, on CEREC and Cone Beam or CAD-CAM and Cone Beam. So you have a practice that's roughly 750 active patients, and you're able to justify and want that technology.
Correct.
How would you address people that says that doesn't make sense?
I mean, I think it makes the most sense
kind of make me buy into that.
Okay, so my patients, just the patient base I have, white collar, busy, don't want to take time off work all the time. The minute I said, hey, I can do your crown in 2 hours and have you back to your afternoon meeting, sold, done, sign me up. I don't want to come back. I don't want to deal with a temporary that's going to fall off. You know,
only if Panky approves.
Correct. and so, I mean, that was a huge, I'm going to get in trouble. That was a huge sell point for my office. And actually, we had acceptance go up because of that. And they just buy into the technology, too. They think
people
it's
love
so
technology,
cool.
Right?
If I
they
show
all have
them,
phones,
blow
right?
them up. Yeah, so I have a lot of engineers in my office. They love seeing the Miller. Like, it was just a cool thing. And they also liked the fact that I was investing in them in the practice. They're like, I don't know why they never did this before.
So a lot amazing. Of people... that by practice is like, I don't want to do technology. I don't want to overwhelm my patient.
No.
You think it's the opposite.
Oh my gosh.
Where people say, okay, hey, I want to stick around because now we're getting modernization and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So I did all that. I also kind of remodeled the front of my office. And that has impressed more people because they're like,
the front being the lobby, the waiting area.
The lobby. It was an old house. Mm-hmm. It didn't really have like a check in, check out. It was kind of awkward. I redid all that. And patients are like, well, you're really investing in the practice. You're staying around. You're going to be here. So we're going to stay with you. And we like what you're doing. We like that you're going forward. So it's been very positive. They appreciate it.
Okay.
They know that I'm in with the CBCT. I'm showing you your airway. I'm showing you all that cool stuff. They're like, man, I mean, I've never even thought of that before.
Does it make having conversation and quote unquote selling dentistry easier?
So much easier.
Because the doctor before didn't ever bring any of this up for me for 27 years.
No.
Why are you, maybe you got bills to pay.
Right. You know, and that was one thing I worried about. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to all of a sudden be the new girl that needs to pay my bills and sell. I really haven't gotten that just because I can show them like this is why I do it. I think because I can tell you why I do it and the benefit from it, it doesn't even matter.
So I buy into that.
Yeah, like I'm selling the benefit to them.
Why did you choose CEREC for CAD/CAM?
Because I tried a competitor and I didn't like it.
Okay.
I've been CEREC for maybe 7 years now.
So what do you say to people that say, well, I can mix and match pieces and make it work to save $50,000?
No. Why?
Okay.
I mean, I just go with what you know goes together.
Why'd you choose Sirona Conbeam?
I liked the technology and I already had the CEREC, so I knew it would all integrate together and I didn't want that problem of, oh wait,
is there value to integration in your mind now experiencing it?
Yes.
Because a lot of people say, I can make that work. I can use XYZ software and this and that.
I mean, I'm not very IT techie when it comes to like making one thing work with another. So make it so simple that I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I don't want to worry about that stuff during the day. I just want to know it works and I know who to call if something's not working and I'm done.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next for you?
Sleep, obviously.
Okay.
I'm here. So we're starting that up. Really excited about that.
What made you choose sleep? There's so many things you can add to your practice.
Looking at my patient base, the average age is about 65. Mm-hmm. And I went to a course with Aaron Elliott at DS World last year.
Okay.
And that really kind of got me thinking. And I just started asking my patients questions.
Not my course? I mean, that didn't make you think?
I just took that.
No, I'm at DS World. I spoke. I didn't make you think. You didn't come see me there.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I did.
That hurts my feelings, just so you know.
I had to see yours, though. bought it. But yeah, so that kind of, I started the conversation with my patients. Just interesting. Like, how many are in a CPAP? I don't know. I never asked these questions before. And then it kind of led me like, this might be a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, to help my patients out. And then I started did my own research.
So you did what I call proving the concept. So you went to basically a lecture. Okay. You're like, that intrigues me. Mm-hmm. Let me go find out if this even exists in my practice. Right. And you just ask some questions.
Correct.
Right. And you ask the questions and you're like, there's enough of this that I should kind of dive in deeper for it.
Correct.
And then you decided that that's where you're going to dive in.
Yes.
So we were having a conversation earlier. And I'm trying to push you to add some more things to your practice, right?
Yes.
And you're pushing me back.
Yep.
Well, I'm the person that wants to do one thing at a time.
Correct.
And I have a lot of comebacks to that, but that's, everybody's a different personality. I like chaos. I thrive in chaos a little bit, okay? Maybe I don't know any better, to be quite honest with you. But my response to you was, you got to set a deadline. Or what I'm fearful of is that the next step won't happen for a longer period of time.
Right. That makes sense.
So, you know, I think you should set implant training for 9 months from now.
Definitely. It's always been one thing where I don't like chaos. I need to, I'm the person that I need to know 100% of what I'm doing, get that down, and then I'll move on. So, I mean, yeah, 9 months from now. Maybe my implant journey starts, but I can't do multiple things because then I feel like I'm giving half to something and I'm not happy with that personally.
But how do I get you to schedule that implant training?
You make me pay for something and then
I'm not worried
up.
About the money part of it. But
no,
how do I get you to commit to a date for it?
I don't know. Hold it over my head and then yell at me when I don't do it.
Yeah, but you're a grown woman, you know, you're a grown person.
I know, but if
I'm not your husband, so I don't have any reason to yell at you, right?
I don't yell at me either. He knows better than me. I mean, no, if I tell you guys I'm going to do it and you're like, well, you're not here,
but
what are you doing?
The point I'm making is I so believe in what I call a success path. And ultimately, one of the things that we individually have to do is we have to define that success path.
Right.
And for you, the first step of that was sleep. And part of my challenge to you is you got to define what the second step is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what the third step is.
Right.
And sometimes the third step doesn't come clear until this, you know, you kind of get into the second step. But not just this first step, the first part of it is to establish what the second thing is. The second part of it is establish a date that I'm going to start learning it. And that's what I want more people to do. I want them to create their success path, okay, because
you know, it's easy for me to say you need to do sleep, you need to do implants, you need to do all this. But, you know, at the end of the day, it took me 10 years to get there, right? So I have to be weary of that and aware of that. But I also know that we need to make people a little bit uncomfortable to set that date. Maybe right. Maybe that date's 9 months. Maybe it's 12 months. Maybe it's 15 months. It doesn't matter so much to me of when that date is. What does matter to me is that you set a right. date, because you can always postpone it.
Right.
You know, it's, but you need to set a date.
Right. No. So. Yeah. And my 2019 goal was sleep.
Okay.
That's what it was.
So what's your 2020 goal?
Guess it'll be implants.
No, it doesn't have to
I
be.
I mean, but really for me, I mean, I know I want to keep my CEREC training going, okay. but there's only so much I can do okay. more beyond that. Naturally, I think it would be.
You do know simple. 2019 is almost halfway over.
Where did the year go? Okay. Well, my 2021. Okay.
But you see what I'm saying? Like,
but I need to look at and see.
But you
yes.
see the whole point. Like, absolutely. Like in other words, if we said, hey, my 2019 goal is sleep, and we're really starting our journey in April, May, you know,
right.
it's that's, you know, so to me, if you say, hey, my goal is in 2020 is implants, then let's go ahead and schedule that for January of 2020.
Right.
Because there's a ramping period. Right. It's not like you, hey, I take the training and I'm an implant person. Right.
Right.
You know,
I mean, too, with sleep, like I started that last year. Right. So, I mean, it's taken me.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
It's a 6 month ramping. I tell everybody, I try to get everybody to understand it's a 6 month ramp.
Yeah. So we're just now starting. So
you're hitting your stride.
So I kind of want to get a few of those under my belt.
Yeah.
Get all that, and then, you know, I don't know. It's scary to set a goal, and I'll be honest. Like, a huge part of me not wanting to do implants is just fear about it.
What's the fear?
I don't know.
You have all the technology.
I know. I have all the technology. It's just me doing it. It really is. And I've placed implants before. Like, it's not something that's totally foreign.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is, with all the technology, you can pick and choose what you right? do. You can literally pick plentiful bone sites.
Right.
Nobody says you have to do, you know, where you snake an implant in.
Right.
I mean, you can pick and choose.
So it's me just figuring out my course for that, you know, okay. where I'm going to start with my implants for my office and going from there.
Okay.
But
so when are we going to schedule that?
Oh, dear. I don't know. So I say maybe 12 months from now.
Okay. So we can hold you accountable that in 12 months, you will be starting your implant journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll schedule it probably towards the end of this year, early next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'll be a good deadline
figuring
to get scheduled.
Out, like, how I'm going to go.
Yeah, which
about
one,
it.
You yeah. know, what, where you want to start,
I mean,
all that
too,
stuff.
That's the other thing. Like, there's so many courses out there. Like, what's right for me? What's
so that's why
work?
You got. That's why I'm pushing you now
right,
to start
so I
thinking
start
about that.
Right, so I got to start figuring all that out. Yeah, so, you know, going on that journey is going to be.
You know, we have wonderful training here, but I'm not saying that we're the right place for you,
right.
but we are. No, but I, you know, and I say that tongue in cheek a little bit, but our implant training is based around the Sirona system.
Correct.
It's based around CEREC and their cone beam, and it's about getting started in that model. And so to me, taking training, implant training in other places, while it makes, you know, they're very good. Don't get me wrong. My buddy Justin Moody at Implant Pathway does mm-hmm. an unbelievable job. My friend Arun Garg with Implant Seminars, they do a great job. You know, I'm happy to send people to both those organizations. But, you know, you're not learning the workflow for what you have.
Correct.
And I know that you intend to do it in that workflow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to push you a little bit on this.
That's fine. Okay? I need it.
We all need it. Yeah. I need it too. Right. I need it to. I'm struggling right now in finding my next step. Like, what's next for me? You know, I mean, I don't want to say I've mastered sleep, because I'm far from that. I haven't mastered implants, but I'm doing, you know, I'm doing a wide range of implant stuff. I'm doing a wide, you know, we're doing a decent amount of sleep. We're starting to conquer aligner therapy. And, you know, there's so much, like, I'm like, okay, what's next? Right. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be something next, or I'm going to probably get irritable.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and it's so easy to stay in your comfort zone. So, yeah, no, you need someone to push you out of
it. So Megan will have picked a implant training program by the end of the year.
Yes, I
fair?
Will. Fair. I'll okay. do it.
I'm not saying you have to start by the end of
right,
the year.
Right, no, but
I'm just saying,
have an idea where
I don't
going.
Care if you pick for the one for the end of 2020.
Right.
That's fine. Just pick one.
Just pick one.
Just,
yeah.
Just get it on, because here's what I know about people that own their own practice. They work on deadlines, and we work so much better when we know what's out there.
Right.
You know, what we know that, hey, I got to get this done so I can move on to that.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
You know, so that's why I'm pushing you a little bit on that.
Oh, fair enough.
What else can I help you with? What are some of the other challenges?
I think I've just had challenges getting new patients in a fee-for-service model.
Okay.
It's been different.
Do you really need new patients?
No, I know. You say I don't. I want new patients. I want some younger new patients in my office. And that's just, I know I can, what the patients
like all
I
your
have,
patients all walking in on like respirators and about to die.
I mean, I've got some older patients.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
But, I mean, I've got some older patients, but I just kind of want to get some, you know, patients younger and a different generation in my office. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you know, but it's been appealing. I'm a young mother.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. So one of the things that you talked about is in our conversation at dinner today is you had mentioned that that one of the reasons that you're getting more new patients than the previous owner, besides the technology and all of that stuff, is that you really have tried to focus in on some of the mommy groups.
Correct.
So talk to me about that, because I've never even understood that.
Yeah, so I'm in Cincinnati, and there's a mom's blog. Mm-hmm. And she does a
So do you think that exists everywhere?
Oh, probably, yeah. Just Google, like, mommy, whatever.
You know, as a side note real quick. So one of our good friends, we went on a Disney cruise with them. And me and my wife aren't necessarily big planners. We just kind of do things. And Erin, who's our friend, had this whole, like, itinerary. And then she said, I went on the Disney blog and figured out that we need to do this, this, and this, and that we need to have this on our door so that we got, you know.
Yeah, you had the stuff on your door.
Yeah, the whole thing.
It's a culture.
Yeah, it's a
culture. It is.
When you talk about this Cincinnati Mommy's blog, you know, it reminds me that we have to be open to learning about these things, because I could only imagine how many other mothers or dads were on this Disney cruise blog about how to maximize
right.
your kids' experience there.
Right. So this blog she goes through, and she does a great job of mapping out not preferred, but people who have backed certain pediatricians, pediatric dentists in the area. She also does all the activities going on. So it's like a one-stop website for parents in the Cincinnati area. So I've located with her, or I've worked with her, and I'm a kind of a preferred provider. And
were you the only dentist on there?
No, I'm not. Which is nice, because then, you know, people can look, but she does blog spots for me and different things that we're doing, like Botox.
And do you pay for this?
I do.
Okay.
But we're also friends, so it kind of just works.
Okay.
But she'll do blog spots. If we're doing promotions, she can put a little Instagram video about it if she comes into my office.
So this is more like influencer marketing.
Basically, yeah. She'll take pictures of herself. And then Cincinnati is pretty small.
Isn't that what Instagram's all about, is taking pictures of yourself?
You know what? But it works, you know. And they see, oh, hey, I know her from this, or she went there, and I got this done. So it helps my word of mouth, which for fee-for-service is our number
it's
one.
All that, yeah.
So it gets my name out there. And it helps, but I think it just, for parents, it just helps to get someone else's opinion on things. Because, I mean, there's a million dentists in the world, so.
So that fits two realms for you. One is it helps youthfulness,
right?
your practice,
none
right?
of my patients.
But you know what I mean? It helps make your practice a little bit more youthful.
Correct.
Okay. And there's, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing like I should, your patients should understand that. and it also helps increase your reach to
Correct.
People, to more people that are looking for a fee-for-service practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
It's worked well.
Why do you want more patients?
That's what I was taught, and I'm going off what I was used to in my last practice. Like, you had to have so many new butts in the chair, you weren't going to make your goal.
That's because they were losing just as many as they brought in.
Correct. And I always wanted to know the stats on that, but I never got them. But that's the way I was taught, I guess, in dental school. I don't know. It's just, I feel like it was driven. So that's why it's been hard for me for the fee-for-service to realize, like, that's not what it's about. And what I'm learning, but it's, I don't know.
You know, it irks me when people say, hey, I need new patients, And that's not that they don't. Okay, I'm not saying you don't need new patients, but what I want to do is I want them to have some clarity or clearness about why. Like, why are you after new patients? Is it, hey, I need to produce more revenue? Is it, hey, I want to increase my mix of services? Or, hey, is it, hey, I just want to make my practice a little bit younger so, it makes me feel better? Or, hey, this is why I want new patients. And very rarely can somebody give me a very specific answer of why they're doing what they're doing.
I mean, I feel for me, like, I want more patients in my office.
Okay, but what is more?
I would be happy with, we had 11 new patients last month, and that's big for us.
Okay.
So I'd be happy with, 5 to 8 would be good. Okay. But
you want 8 patients that do nothing, or you want 1 patient that does everything?
Well, that's the 2. Like, you can get 8 that don't need anything. And so, that's.
But that's part of marketing, right?
Right.
But you control what kind of patient comes to your practice with the messaging that you do.
Right. So I think new patients that are coming know that we have the technology. They know that we're whole body health. That's kind of our focus. We're not just going to be the patient, that cleans your teeth and never sees you again. Mm-hmm. And we're very engaged. And those are the patients that we're getting that know you're coming in for a different experience, which...
Do you establish... Like, I'm asking questions, not that you should or shouldn't, okay? Do you establish a monetary goal to this? Like, I want to increase revenue by X percent or X dollars.
No.
Okay.
I don't really look... I mean, it sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. I know what I need for my daily goal and my monthly goal, but I also know that it's fluid. Mm-hmm. So I don't get mad when one day it's not there.
Yeah, you can't look at it on an hourly or daily basis.
Right, but it sounds bad, but I guess it doesn't sound bad. I don't attach the money to it. Okay. I really don't, because every new patient I see as a relationship. So, if they don't need something and they really like me, they're going to refer their friend. It's going to multiply on itself. So that's just the way I look at it.
Look, let me be somewhat frank about this. Okay. I just want you to get clear about why you want new patients. Okay. That's all I'm asking. And you don't have to, it's not an answer today.
The other thing, I know the last dentist that was there before me, she worked 3 days with hygiene of 4 days, and I've gone, so she wasn't there on the 4th day, just hygiene.
So North Carolina is not even legally possible, but that's okay.
Yeah, we can do that in Ohio. Okay. So I'm trying to work 4 days, and there's really not enough.
All right, great. So there we go.
Hygiene.
So now
for me to cover 4 days. So I know I need more butts in the chair. Yeah.
So now let's work backwards.
Okay.
Okay. So you need new patients because you're trying to go from 3 days to 4 days.
Correct.
Okay. So you need essentially a 33% increase in patient base, because you're going from 3 days to 4 days, so you're adding 1 day on a 3-day schedule, so that's a 33% increase in your patient base. Okay, so now to me, that's a number that I start with, and then I work backwards.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So now we're looking at, hey, I want to go from 750 patients to roughly probably 1,000 patients.
Right.
Okay. That's roughly the number you're trying to go after there. Okay. So now the question is how long do you want to do? How long do you want that to take?
I don't know. I mean, as soon as possible would be great.
So you need 250 patients next month?
Yeah. No. I think if I could get between 8 and 10
so
new patients.
So you're willing to have this take 24 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with a slow and steady.
Okay.
So am I. For the long haul. So, yeah, I don't.
But you see how much clearer we can suddenly get?
Right, right.
Like, hey, I know that this is where I want to get to. So there's not this. See, one challenge that people, when I ask, that I think people have when we start talking about growth, is they think it's unlimited. It like never ends.
Right.
And I know one of your fears that you mentioned earlier was you don't want to feel like you've lost control.
Correct.
Or you've turned into this non, cozy practice. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you worked hard to buy that and, maintain that.
Right.
So now, we have to have a defined growth
and
a defined plan so that we can maintain that. And you can't suddenly have 40 patients a month coming in for, for 6 months because it won't do that.
That.
You can't handle that, right? So now you have to have a sustained method, and then you need to have a plan.
Correct. Okay?
So now, see, to me, and maybe this just makes me feel better, okay? But now you can say, hey, I need to go from 750 to 1,000 patients, Okay. I want to do this over 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And to do that over 2 to 3 years, I need to average 8 to 10 patients per month.
Right.
Okay. So now I can say, okay, to get 8 to 10 patients per month, I can probably get 1 or 2 from, you know, referral. Okay. And then, you know, maybe I can get 3 or 4 from referral.
Right.
Okay. Or to me, I start figuring out where are these 8 or 10 patients coming from? And I start working backwards and I start creating that treatment plan of how I'm going to get these new patients.
Yeah. Cause we've been tracking where they're coming from.
Where are they coming from?
Google reviews.
Okay.
And referrals from other specialists. Okay. So those have been our two.
Wonderful.
And internal. So internal. I mean, those are our three.
So one third, you think? Like three patients from each?
I'm trying to think of last month. So yeah, okay. About that.
Okay. So to me, then the answer is you just keep doing more of that.
Right.
Right. So to me now, like I'm just thinking, does it help you get more clear about what you're trying to do?
Yes.
And how you're going to get there?
Yes.
And so, you know, then at some point you're going to have to add that fourth day of hygiene. Okay. Or that fourth day of yourself.
Of me. Yes. We have 4 of hygiene.
Okay. So when are you going to add that fourth day of yourself?
I already were. I'm there that day.
Okay. So you're there whether you need to be or not.
Correct.
Okay.
It's just how booked am I on that fourth day?
But are you booking that fourth day at the expense of the other 3 days?
As in some days will be lighter.
Yeah.
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 It spreads it out. So some days will be thinner.
Do you like
than
that?
Others. Right now it doesn't bother me because mm-hmm. it's giving me time to do some lab work and some of
business
my bookkeeping
stuff, yeah.
and stuff. So yeah. I'm not coming in as much. But you know, but sometimes it gets, I'd rather be
a little bit busier,
busier,
a little
absolutely.
Bit more, just more consistent.
Correct.
Not busier,
yeah.
but more
no,
consistent.
No, yes. Yeah.
So then maybe I would argue that, you need to control your fourth day schedule. Mm-hmm. Like maybe what you need to do is like, hey, for the rest of this year, I'm committed to working 8 to 12 on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth day, I assume the fourth day mm-hmm. is Thursday, right? And then starting January 2020, then I'll go from 8 to 2.
Were you saying with me or me and hygiene?
No, just you. I, okay. It's I'm only because hygiene's already going.
Yeah,
because
we thought about doing making that our sleep day.
Oh, and that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. So putting everything else on the week and then. But we're not there yet. Yeah. So we're kind of just toying around with.
But you're also bringing these new patients in, right? Mm. So you've got to have a place to put them.
Right.
So you got. See, part of it, we have this, we've defined. So to a certain degree, we've defined a goal of what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we've defined a plan to get there. And now we have to build the infrastructure to support this growth at the pace that it's happening. Okay. So I don't, like personally, I don't think you should spread 3 days out into 4.
Okay.
I think you should keep your 3 days, 3 days.
Okay.
And then make your fourth day all about a slow, steady, hey, listen, the first 6 months I'm going to be willing to work 3 hours.
Okay.
I'll be there all day, but I'm only willing to see patients from 8 to 9 or 8 to 10 or whatever it is. Okay.
Okay.
After month 6, I'm willing to go from 8 to 12.
Okay.
Okay. After month 18, I'm willing to be 8 to 3. And after month 24, I want to be 8 to 5.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason is I want you to have scheduled business time. Okay. Whereas right now, what may happen is, hey, she's here from 8 to 5. You know, I know you may mentally say, you know what, I don't have a patient today from 12 to 5. I'm going to get this done from 12 to 5.
Right.
And then something shows up and then your business gets neglected.
Right.
And so that's why I'm a big believer in controlling your schedule. So that way you also teach your team to kind of start scheduling in a certain time frame.
Okay. Yeah, because we kind of, I was used to block scheduling. Mm-hmm. And then just being new is kind of like, well,
free for all.
Yeah, we just need to get people in to get people in.
Yeah, but that becomes tiresome after a while.
Right. And we're getting busier enough that we can start kind of.
And it becomes limiting too.
Right.
Because the only thing we have is time.
Right.
All right.
No, makes sense.
Is that somewhat helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it make sense, I should say?
It does, yeah, because I kind of like, it would definitely help my schedule just because some days there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But then other days you're slammed, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, just have consistent days.
Correct.
You know, when you're in a position to control that.
Right.
Then, you know, if we're in a survival phase, then it's come one, come all.
Right.
Right. But when we're in a, hey, I'm trying to grow, you know, let's grow. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe, you know, maybe you work Friday here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of coming in on Thursday, you have a day where you come in without hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And you just say, hey, I'm going to do these types of cases on this day.
Right.
You know, so there's so much flexibility and opportunity for you that I think by just opening mind and thinking differently and starting from a top down approach, like an end goal backwards approach,
right?
That it'll allow you to, because maybe another way to get more patients is to be open different hours.
Right. We did change our hours. Okay. When I bought the practice, it was 7 to 3, mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday. We kept the 7 to 3s Monday and Wednesday, okay. And then 8 to 5 Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So
we've changed that. Staff was not happy about team, that. Yeah. The team, yeah, sorry. Team is not happy about that, but it's helped.
Have they gotten over it?
They've gotten over it. Yeah.
And nobody likes change.
No, and getting off at 3 is amazing. I mean, yeah.
But they still have 2 days of that.
Yeah, so it's good. But that helped too with patients after work and kids after school. So that also helped bring.
You know, our busiest time of the week is our Friday morning 7 o'clock appointment.
Really, our sevens in hygiene. I mean, people will book out forever.
So tell you should have more 7 o'clock.
That's what I question. Like, do I?
You should have a 6 o'clock in the morning appointment.
No thanks.
Well, you don't have to be there.
My hygiene would.
Maybe they would like you. You don't know till you ask, right?
That's true. I don't know.
Like, hey, if you come in at 6, you can get out at 1.
Yeah. I mean, that's something.
You know, I can see your wheel spinning a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because what you just did, and I suffer from this disease as well, is we think for other people.
Right.
You know, instead of just putting it out there and see what the initial response is. And even if the initial response is bad and you believe in it, say, well, hey, would it be okay if we experiment with this?
Right.
Let's just try it.
Right.
Okay, let's try 6 to 2, 6 to 1, whatever it is, 1 day a week. And let's try it for a month, 1 day a week. And if we find that no patients want a 6 o'clock appointment.
We did that.
I'll do mea culpa and you guys were right and I was wrong.
We did that with a later time. Mm-hmm. We were going to stay up until 6.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Patients didn't want to do it. It just didn't work for our practice. So we moved back.
I could have predicted that for your patient base. Like, I wouldn't open till 6 in my practice. Because I think the 5 to 6 o'clock time is the worst time.
Yeah.
Traffic, you know.
Right.
Everybody's running late. People, you know what I love about the 7 o'clock appointments? Because I do 7 to 3 on Tuesdays now. Mm-hmm. Those patients are on time at 7.
Oh, yeah.
There's no excuse. There's no traffic. There's nothing. They're on their way to work. Nothing happened at work where they forgot about things. No meeting suddenly came up.
That's true.
None of that stuff, right?
That is true,
So I want to toy with the idea of being open at 6 a.m.
All right.
I'm not saying you're in a state where you don't have to be there.
Right.
It could be hygiene.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, to me, you have an opportunity to experiment. Because I said 6 o'clock to you, and I could already tell from your eyes that you don't necessarily love that.
I mean,
yourself.
For myself, yeah, no, it wouldn't be fun. But I mean, I think if hygiene could get in there early, they'd love to leave earlier.
Yeah. So you got it's a give and take, right?
Yeah.
It's a give and take.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. I'm not even saying it makes sense, right? I'm just saying that the mistake that we made that I heard from you is, well, I don't think my team would do it. You don't know until you ask.
Yeah, you got to ask.
You just got to put it out there. And then you got to ask, are you willing to experiment? Because they probably, if you had that same mindset, they wouldn't have liked going 8 to 5 either.
Right.
And you would never have done it.
Right.
And it turned out they got used to it.
Yeah. And it works now. Yeah. I've toyed about taking another day back to 7 to 3 just because of sevens or so. People love
so them. Great. Yeah.
And I don't mind it. I'm out of the house before the kids get up.
I remember, and you can also have hygiene start at 7.
Yeah.
Like, I like to, I'm one of my, growing my practice, one of my best days was when I used to come in on Fridays and not have hygiene. Mm-hmm. I'd schedule the types of dentistry I wanted to do that day, or just, I liked going in and actually being able to work nonstop.
Yeah. It's
not
nice.
Having to get up to do 1 or 2 hygiene, how many of our hygiene checks, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I like that.
No, I agree. It's nice when you can.
You know, it's 2020, Megan.
Oh, man. The pressure.
But things are different. And I say that because for you more so than for me, you have to adapt and respond more than I do. I use insurance as my way of avoiding as much of a response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to give your patients a compelling reason to stay with you.
I agree.
And you're doing it. but you also have to continue to do it.
Right.
You know, especially as, hey, I bought this practice. I do have some visionary plans mm-hmm. of what I want. I want to make it mine mm-hmm. and what I want. So, you know, you're not just trying to maintain status quo. So you have to be a little bit adaptable on that.
I agree. And that's been something that, you know, I've definitely been trying to do. Like the question, like, why would I stay with you? And that's what I've been trying to figure out. Yeah. And it's worked so far.
And it will continue to work. Yeah. I want to be clear with you about that. It will continue to work as long as you don't take it for granted.
No, I see where I have to have my plan and let my patients in on it and know why I'm doing what I'm doing.
You know, if you, I bet you money. I'll bet you money. Like, clearly, I'll bet you. I'll put money on. I don't have it with me, but let me see. Wait, I might have some euros left over.
Sweet.
Like, I don't have. I'll bet you this Blue Cross Blue Shield card. Okay, or this non-activated credit card. Okay. I'll bet you there that some of your patients don't refer patients to you because they think you want to stay small and be small.
Oh, I totally agree. I agree. No. Because we started that, you know, asking patients for referral and that really awkward conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something I know I struggle with because I feel like a weirdo. How do I bring that up?
You're begging.
Yeah.
I felt like I was begging.
Right. Like, oh, please, we need more. And then it will come up in conversation. Like when a patient says, oh my gosh, you did that, you know, crown in 2 hours. That's amazing. And we're like, yeah, if you know anyone else that would love this, we'd love to see him. Oh, I didn't realize you were seeing new patients. Yeah. It comes up all the time.
Because they've been somewhere for 20 years when nothing changed.
Right.
And everything was the same.
Yeah.
And see, I keep telling people, when you're trying to do something different, let your patients in on it. Let your team members in on it. Don't keep them in the dark.
Yeah.
Let them know what you're after. So, because people want to know what hole they're going down, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's super important for you to let your patients know, hey, listen, we're looking to add another day to our practice. Yeah. We're ready for new patients. Mm-hmm. And you'll be shocked, especially in your situation where patients truly, truly come to you for you.
Right.
You know, or they stayed there for you, right? So you have, like, I'm convinced 80% of my patients come to me because I'm in the list.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then we keep them there because of their experience. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
But, you know, I think you should let your patients in on what you're trying to do.
Yeah. We've been trying to do it a little bit more. Like when we walk in, our CBCT is hits you right in the face.
But that still doesn't tell them you want more patients.
True. Yeah. That's just our technology. Yeah. I just got to be.
That's just you.
I
got to
get over that and just ask people.
I don't even think I got to ask. I think you just got to say, hey, listen, you know, I want to add Thursdays to the practice. Okay. If you know any patients, if you know anybody else that would value a practice, we're adding another day to the practice. So we have a limited, just sell it.
Yeah.
We have a limited number of patients that we can take on. If you know anybody that would value our practice like you do, let us know.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You know? And so that way you keep that, hey, I'm keeping it small, but you're very transparent that I'm not trying to make this place busier. Right. I'm literally adding another day.
Yeah. I want more good patients like you.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we only have a limited number of spots.
Right.
Because I'm only adding one day.
Right.
You know, and I would bet you money that your patients will fill you up.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
They just got to tell people. Open. I think transparency is so important.
Yeah.
Like I try to be so transparent with my team members and my patients and stuff like that. Yeah. And with you guys, even in our classes, I'm transparent, you know, things like that. So
it's a good idea.
All right, Megan, what was helpful for you today in our conversation?
Definitely like setting my goal and making myself accountable on what I'm going to do next. And I think just having that, like knowing why now I need that, you know, how I'm going to fill that Thursday up and what that's going to look like for me. And also I feel good about my practice. Like I'm not
jealous.
Like I'm happy with it, but it's been a year and a half. So I'm still kind of, I don't know what I don't know. And I'm still in that phase, but I keep learning.
You know the number that matters the most? Hmm. Because the BDC that we were talking about earlier, okay?
We have to start that.
Yeah, we need to. But the BDC is so many people are focused on the top line number as in, look what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not the number that matters.
Right.
The number that really matters, when we talk economics, is the bottom line number. And the truth is you can do a million and take home 150, or you can do 400 and take home 150. Right. You know, and it's all about what you want and what you want it to look like, you know. And I think as dentists, you know, we get caught up in this, oh, my practice does X, but we're not asking the right question. The question is, like, how hard do you work? How many team members do you have? And what little do you take home for all that?
To make it, yeah.
Right, you know. And I'm falling a little bit entrapped to that. Like, I see these guys that are doing $4 or $5 million a year. I'm like, all right, I want to get there. And it's starting to come at the expense of percentage profitability. Mm-hmm. It's not that I won't make more money doing that,
right,
but I won't make percentage-wise the same. Mm-hmm. And to me, that I'm increasing risk, and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So just keep doing what you're doing. Stay true to yourself. Okay. Have clear eye on the enemies. And the enemies are, for you, are practices that provide the same level of service and take insurance. You know, you becoming somewhat taking it for granted or becoming stuck in what you do. Those are your enemies. Your enemies are yourself to a certain degree, right? And so that you more than me, because you want to maintain fee for service, you need to be aware of those things.
No, I agree.
Megan, it wasn't that bad, was it?
No. See? You weren't too mean.
I'm just a teddy bear. Are you kidding me?
Teddy bear. That was good. Teddy bear. That was helpful. I'm glad.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support of 3D Dentists.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How can our listeners get in touch with you?
My email is megandmd@gmail.com.
megandmd@gmail.com. So you have like a pseudo degree, because real dentists are DDSs.
I know. We switched over. Yeah. And my practice is Weisenberger Dental in Cincinnati. Okay. So our website, there's an email for that too.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
Absolutely.
So if somebody wants to ask you about building a fee-for-service practice, buying a practice, just want to pick your brain, they like what you talked about.
Yeah.
They want to just get to know you.
Absolutely.
They just want to be women power and hang out. I'm somewhat kidding about that. I hope they edit that out.